ready to stand out, Army ROTC prepares you not only as a college student, but as a strong leader, allowing you to earn the rank of second lieutenant. You will be eligible for full tuition, merit-based scholarships, and develop leadership skills essential for your future. Start strong and enhance your college experience. Visit your campus Army ROTC representative today. To find out how you can earn up to a full tuition scholarship, visit goarmy.com/podcast to locate your closest ROTC program today. Army officers inspire strength in others. Paid for by the United States Army.
We waste no time bringing on our next guest. He is the top MMA reporter for ESPN. The great Ariel Helwani joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Ariel, it's Jake Asmund here. Really appreciate your time this morning, my friend. Hope all is well.
My pleasure, Jake. How are you?
Hanging in there. So I want to start with just a serious topic first. I really want to commend you for speaking out against the comments that DeSean Jackson made and what Steven Jackson said in following that. You know, there had not been a ton of people, especially someone with your platform, that have condemned those comments. And I just want to give you a lot of credit for it. I'm sure it meant a lot to me, and it meant a lot to so many people as well.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, I'm a proud Jew, and obviously this isn't a time for hatred or division. And it was just disappointing to see that, especially from Steven Jackson, considering all the great things that he was doing over the past few months. There's no place for that, no place for hatred. I'm not here to rank the different kinds of hatred out there. There's no place for it, period, and I was really disappointed to see that, and I felt like I had to say something.
Absolutely, and I know you know Steven Jackson, so it's tough to imagine what he's thinking. I mean, how can he be a leader of social justice organizations and not condemn anti-Semitism?
Yeah, and he's tripling down. You know, it's like, DeSean Jackson, whether it was sincere or not, at least apologized. Steven Jackson, in the midst of DeSean Jackson's apology tour, is doubling and tripling down, and that makes no sense to me whatsoever. I mean, anyone in 2020 who is touting anything that Hitler said as being accurate or factual or you know, on point or anything of that nature, to me is a bigot, is an anti-Semite, and that's really disappointing, because I met and worked with Steven Jackson once, and he was a lovely man, and I enjoyed it and was just really blown away by his kindness. I was telling people that afterwards, because, you know, Steven Jackson had a certain reputation when he was a player, but then you meet him, and the guy is just a sweetheart, and so, yeah, really disappointing. But and I'd love to see more people come out and condemn those comments in the NFL and the NBA, but weirdly enough, we haven't seen that.
Absolutely. Very well said. Ariel Helwani joining us here on the Jake Asmund Show. Of course, UFC Fight Island, it's finally happening. And what a main event headline we have as we transition to that. What was your instant reaction, though, when you found out that Burns tested positive for COVID-19? And then here comes Jorge Masvidal on 6 days' notice with a chance at the title against Kamaru Usman?
Well, obviously, I was bummed for Burns. I was very vocal about the fact that the fight should have always been Masvidal versus Usman. That was the fight we were promised. That was the best fight. It was the biggest fight that the UFC could put on, but obviously they couldn't come to terms with Masvidal, and then they went in the direction of Burns. So when I found out about the positive test, it wasn't like I was celebrating that or anything. You don't want to hear anyone getting sick these days. But I commend the UFC, I commend Masvidal, I commend Usman in particular for making this happen, because they all recognized, and I think they all knew from the beginning, that this was the fight to make. So it's rare that the replacement fight is a lot more exciting and generates this kind of interest and reaction rather than the original fight that they were putting on. But that's what this is. This is reminiscent of UFC 196 when Nate Diaz replaced Rafael Dos Anjos on 11 days' notice and obviously beat Conor McGregor shortly thereafter, reminiscent of Michael Bisping replacing Chris Weidman and getting the title fight against Luke Rockhold. I just hope that they pass all their remaining COVID tests and they make way tomorrow and that we get to see this fight, because to me, this was one of the most anticipated fights of 2020, and it took way too long for it to happen. And now it's crazy that it's happening under these circumstances.
Ariel, for the casual UFC fan, describe the historic rise we've seen over the last year and change from a guy like Masvidal. He's kind of been a journeyman fighter, and then over the last year and change, he's been about as electrifying as any fighter we've seen in the sport.
Yeah, it's historic not just for MMA. It's historic for sports, period, in my opinion, because when you see a guy in his 16th, 17th year turn into a superstar, usually year 16, 17, you're kind of hanging on for one more season. You're trailing off. You're trying to turn back the clock, but not to to many great results. And now here's Jorge Masvidal, who at the end of 2017 lost his second fight in a row, disappears, goes in and shoots a reality show for Hispanic television, and then comes back in March of 2019 and knocks out Darren Till, a great fighter in his home country of England, and then follows that up with a five-second flying knee knockout of the previously undefeated Ben Askren, which happened a year ago this week, which is the fastest knockout in UFC history, and then follows that up with the much-hyped DMF title fight against Nathan Diaz in November at Madison Square Garden, and in my opinion, he was the 2019 Fighter of the Year, and he was on fire, and you know, here we are, what, 8 months later, we finally get to see him back, so I felt like he lost a little bit of momentum, but holy smokes, the UFC couldn't have put a price tag on this kind of PR that they got this week, because, you know, as you know, there's not a lot of things going on right now in sports, slowly but surely, MLS coming back, we hope NBA, MLB, NHL, but there's not a lot of things to look forward to this weekend as far as sports are concerned, and here's this fight that comes from the MMA gods and gives us that excitement and that escape valve. So it's huge, and it's the perfect guy to do it. And I think this pay-per-view is going to do phenomenally well for the UFC as a result of Masvidal's popularity now.
Ariel Helwani joining us here on the Jake Asman Show as we talk all things UFC 251 at Fight Island. Is all the pressure on Usman, Ariel? I mean, if Usman were to lose, he's got to deal with the fact that he's losing to a guy in Jorge Masvidal that just took this fight on 6 days' notice.
Absolutely. I mean, Masvidal is being celebrated for taking the fight on short notice and, you know, being the guy that he is, the character that he is. Everyone, you know, for the most part, seems to enjoy him very much. Usman is the one who was calling him the journeyman, the bum, and all this stuff. And, you know, he's the one that had to change opponents. You know, Masvidal was always thinking about Usman because they were trying to make this fight before. And then Usman had to, you know, prepare for his former teammate, Gilbert Burns. So to me, it's all... all the pressure is on Usman's shoulders. He has to shut up Masvidal. He has to stop the hype train. He has to do all that and more. And it feels like everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people are pulling for Masvidal. So he kind of has to be the villain here. Usman's a great guy and doesn't deserve any hate. But people are just so behind Masvidal right now. And Usman has tried to discredit a lot of things that he has done as of late and tried to discredit his overall body of work. So I couldn't agree more. I think all the pressure is on Usman's shoulders. And sometimes that's not often the case, obviously, as the champion. There's always going to be pressure because you want to retain and, you know, you go all the way down the ladder. But in this case, I think it's squarely on his shoulders.
Give me your thoughts on just the concept of Fight Island as a whole. The fact that Dana White came out a couple months back and floated this idea, and here we are, it's actually happening.
Oh, it's brilliant for the UFC from a business perspective because they couldn't get fighters from, you know, international markets to fight in Las Vegas, obviously, because of the travel restrictions. So now you can get fighters like Jose Aldo and Volkanovski and all these great fighters, Darren Till, Rob Whitaker, to fight on these cards, which is massive for them. That's why they're doing four shows, the 11th, the 15th, the 18th, and the 25th there on Abu Dhabi. Also, they've done a great job of promoting it and marketing it, because I think everyone loves seeing Fight Island. They love the gear. And I think they love the idea of fights happening on this island with waves crashing behind it and palm trees and all this stuff. But as I said from the beginning, that was never going to happen. And in fact, they opened the arena today to the media and they took some videos and, you know, it looks like any other arena. It's great for them. Like I don't want to diminish what they've been able to pull off here and create this safe zone, and they've done it in a really safe and healthy way. But if anyone is tuning in on Saturday expecting to see an actual octagon on the beach with waves behind it, you're not going to see that. It's going to look like any other show. And partly because, you know, when the fights are going to be, it's going to be around 105 degrees Fahrenheit, it would be silly to fight outdoors. And it's also going to be in the middle of the night over there. It's great from a business perspective. The marketing has been great. I do think at times it was a little not so truthful, if I'm being honest. The poster has an octagon on the beach, and it's like, oh, wow, this is great. But, you know, at the day, it's about the fights. And this card, to me, the main card is the best of the year so far. Three title fights, amazing fighters. Rose Namajunas coming back, Paige VanZant coming back. I mean, if you're just tuning in for waves crashing behind a cage, I don't know if you're a real fight fan. It shouldn't really matter once the card gets rolling.
Well, you deserve credit because you reported for months, as you alluded to, that it was not actually going to be like, you know, on a beach. It was going to be in an arena. And I think Dana White called you out on Instagram to a fan and said that, you know, that Ariel doesn't know what he's talking about, basically. He used an expletive I can't say on radio. But you deserve credit, yeah. Ariel. You were right. Dana White called you out, and you end up looking like the guy that got it spot on here.
Listen, Helwani knows isn't just a gimmick, my friend. It's not just about my nose. If I say it, it's true.
I respect that. Final question for me, Ariel, then we'll let you go. I know you got something coming up. Besides the main event fight, which other fight on the main card are you the most excited to watch?
Well, as far as title fights are concerned, go with Max Holloway versus Volkanovski. I think that this is a do-or-die fight at 145 for Holloway. If he loses, it's very hard to get that third crack at the champion. You're kind of in purgatory. So I'm curious to see how he rebounds from losing the belt to Volkanovski in December. There's a lot of pressure on his shoulders in this one. I think more pressure on Max's shoulders than Volkanovski's in this particular fight. So I'm really curious about that. Max is one of the best fighters in the UFC and still very young, still, you know, under 30. So I suspect there's more great fights ahead of him. And Volkanovski has won 18 in a row and has beaten some of the best at 145 and still doesn't seem to get a lot of credit. It seems like that bothers him a little bit. So as far as the title fights, I'll go with that one. Non-title fights, it's got to be the return of Rosen. Her first fight since losing the belt May 2019, she talked about walking away and has come back and has been through a lot as of late with two family members dying due to COVID-19. So I'm really curious to see how she looks in this fight against the person who in her last fight, Jessica Andrade.
He's Ariel Helwani. You can follow him on Twitter if you already don't. If you're an MMA fan, you certainly do. Of course, covers MMA for ESPN. Check out his show, the Ariel Helwani MMA Show. Ariel and the Bad Guy with Chael Sonnen. Ariel, really appreciate your time. Enjoy the fights on Saturday, man, and thanks so much for a couple minutes this morning.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Ariel Helwani joining us there on our Progressive guest line. Of course, Progressive, they make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance.